this is how the format evolved. And another part of the initial decision was that we should share the whole experience with the general public. We should share it, as Bill said, with the students, the faculty, and sort of through Mike Stepovich and his great ways with the public beyond our halls. As so often happens behind the scenes, there's an awful lot going on. And I think all of you have gotten to know Judith Strohmeyer and Nancy Bachner and Fran and those who really made all this happen. I won't go into names, you'll forgive me, Dave, but the radio and television crews have been active. The journalism students have been mentioned. They've been involved. There's been a class given for credit, more than 20 students taking it, many of them here, a special course on the Alaska Constitution. There's a lot of interest, and it's going to be pursued. There'll be follow-up publications. Let me just say personally that there were times over the past months and weeks where I just wanted to run away from it all. It's been, there is a lot of work, but there's been a lot of pleasure. First of all, there are a number of delegates who could not be here. Two of them, we were not able to get a response from. They must have been away from their residence. Every one of the others expressed very deep regrets and send their wishes, best wishes, and their love to Bill and to everyone else who participated in the convention. Each one had a reason. They all wanted to be here. Thanks to the Alaska Humanities Forum and a grant that they gave us, no delegate did not come here because of insufficient funds. This is one of the things that the Humanities Forum, the state committee, specifically agreed to, that they felt that people should be able to participate regardless of their financial status, so that a number of delegates, well, everyone was given a chance to obtain help. The Alaska Humanities Forum also is funding the media work, the sort of bringing the message beyond. I won't go on except to say that I think the personal coming together reunion has been beautifully accomplished. From where I sit, being a professor and objective observer of the scene, I think really more important, the evaluation element has been accomplished. We have discussed the Constitution. We've discussed it from many directions. I think the panels were terrific. I, unlike most of you, was able to float around. I got Dugan to sit in for me and looked in on most of the sessions. They were tremendous. The reports today really gave a feedback of the kinds of considerations that we had. And it's been said already, but I think Bill made a real contribution. Before I come to that, I want to say that Tom Stewart made a phenomenal contribution. I think that Tom's assessment, his overview, and I hope that someday we'll be able to publish the entirety of what Tom had prepared, because I think that he had some very good observations, and we knew that Tom was frustrated throughout those 75 days, not being able to say what was really on his mind, except sometimes over a drink. But as always, and as all of you, I've been tremendously impressed with President Bill. I better than anyone knew how tough this was for Bill to do what he did last night, because Bill has felt these things, and he didn't want to tell us that. And I think it is tremendous that he did, because I think that what Bill has done, even though it might have come late, Bill has really contributed to a discussion of the provisions. The Constitution is not a holy cow. And when our president himself says there are pieces of the Constitution that I question, that I would change, I think this will make all the people of Alaska look at it. It doesn't mean that everyone is going to run off and change it, but it's going to make us think, and that's really what the whole purpose was of this conference. And one last thing, I just want to again express my personal admiration for Bill and his phenomenal skills. I have a list of delegates here, and I've been following on that list a checkoff of the people that Bill has called upon. He has done it without a list. He's been moving the alphabet from both directions without a list. The guy is phenomenal. Bill, thank you.
Thank you, Vic. And I think while you, Vic, while you say that you're not the, weren't the king bee in this, we'll let you say that, but I hope that the constitutional delegates will agree with me in giving the KUAC chief cartoonist a charge to create a cartoon showing Vic Fisher with the highest of the halos and Miss Bartlett and the others with maybe a little lesser halos, but all of the students and all. But we do deeply appreciate it, and we really mean it, all that you've done. Now I'd like to call upon another fine delegate to the Constitutional Convention, Elder Lee. Elders from Petersburg, and all of you who are delegates here know the many, many contributions and provisions that he was interested in and forcefully worked for in the document that is the Constitution of the State of Alaska.
I'm sure after Victor's splendid speech and everyone else's that you'll all forgive me if I just thank you all and look forward till we meet again.
Yes, we're coming to see now. I think that we have with us Mr. Herb Hiltzer, who was one of the delegates. And Herb is, as you know, is one of the just one of the grand people of Alaska. He's been here in this fine state for most of his life, and you're all aware of the many contributions he made to this document. Herb, we're real thrilled to have you with us.
Unfortunately, we arrived a day late here, so I understand that the thing that's bothering me was taken up on the first day. I think Steve McCutcheon brought it up. I'm very much concerned about the fiscal irresponsibility of our legislature. All that's necessary to do down there, and this matter was brought up by Steve, and Helen referred to it, and so did John Coghill. And that is this. When an appropriation bill comes up, it goes by voice vote, and then it goes to the conference committee and comes out of voice vote, so that everybody can point his thumb at the next guy and say, well, no, I didn't have anything to do with this. This has gone around the circle like this. I don't know what can be done, particularly by the Constitutional Convention, but the members, but this is a matter which really should be brought out. I see no reason why the legislature should not require a roll call vote on any bill that has an appropriation attached to it. And I think that's vitally important, because the way the dough was squirted out this last time is utterly phenomenal. And let's stop that. And I think that's one of the responsibilities that we as delegates to the Constitutional Convention can call to the public's attention, and this is a matter which should be brought up this time. That's all in my mind, Bill. Thank you very much. Incidentally, I liked Bill's speech last night, and I just hope that 10,000 copies of his speech are printed so that they're spread out to the people of the state of Alaska. You betcha.
Thank you, Bert. Have another delegate to hear, Yul Kilcher, who all of you are familiar with, and the delegates particularly know of how the hard work and the diligence that Yul lent to the deliberations at that great during those wonderful discussions and debates. Yul, we're happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm not going to say. I'm just going to say a few words. I've eaten cold soup before. And so have you, and cold potatoes. I think I had a unique position at the, when I got to the Constitutional Convention 20 years ago. I had four strikes against me to start out. I was one of three foreign-born ones with a heavy accent, one strike. Secondly, I was not a statehooder. I was an anti either. I was not a Republican, and I was not a Democrat, which was packed heavily by both parties, in spite of it supposedly being nonpartisan. So I had four strikes against me. I was the wild man from Homer, which put a chip on my shoulder and isn't quite off yet, which made me more or less the official gadfly in Alaska. Me, who originally came to Alaska to get away from it all in my native Switzerland, who had a rather rustic, peaceful life in relative genteel poverty on a homestead in Homer. Yet I was interested, when I heard about statehood talk, to see if possibly my nest that I had found and chosen would be endangered by the machinations of these people in Anchorage, mainly. So I ran and accidentally won because of the good people of English Bay with their 11 votes. I think my main contribution to the Constitution, and the one I'm proud of, is one of principle. And as unimportant as it sounded at the time, I'm referring to the martial law clause, that hadn't it been for my awareness, would have sounded something like, martial law may be invoked, your rights may be all cut off in case of imminent war and imminent rebellion. I didn't like that. I thought some governor someday might just see me talk to three or four guys in an agitated way and say there's an imminent rebellion and clap me in jail. So we changed it, and for once my colleagues agreed with me. I got a couple of votes to have a majority. We changed it to read, in case of imminent war and actual rebellion. Slight difference, but it shows my civic Swiss background was functioning there. I have no great recommendations to make or changes to advocate, except for the unicameral system that I advocate now, because since the new regulations of one man, one vote have been adopted, I don't see any reason why not we should have a unicameral system, maybe a Senate of 6-year terms, a third to be elected every 2 years, where the senior third maybe would be the one that would indict in case of impeachment, and the junior two-thirds could take the role of the House, some such a way. I think such a change is really called for nowadays. As to the strong sentiment to limit the sessions, I have one compromise suggestion to make. We should maybe limit the time for the budget. All right, give it 60, 90, or whatever days where the budget got to be passed. And limit also the governor's time to veto the budget so that the legislature could still sit there and act on the veto. I think it is utterly unfair that in the very important matters, the only recourse to override the governor's veto on financial matters and budget matters is to reconvene a convention. Especially, you can't reconvene a convention for small items and so on. It would be very unpopular, and we should prevent that with possible with a possible constitution amendment. And also, I'm in favor of a constitutional reconvention when the next time the question comes on the ballot. I think it would be much better to get the same kind of mature deliberations together by delegates chosen for that purpose than having it amended haphazard, piecemeal, as we are doing now. Thank you, Bill, for having me.
Thank you, Ewell, very much. Now, the next, thank you, Ewell Pilcher. The next delegate I'm going to call upon, I had planned to hold till the very last one, but in the interest of time, I know that I won't be able to do what I had planned to do, so I'm going to call upon a fine man, another delegate who contributed much to this, the developing of this Constitution, and a man who came a long, long ways to be here, Delegate Frank Barr. Frank, would you... Is Frank Barr... Here we have Delegate Frank Barr, who really contributed. We could tell you, Frank, we had planned to keep you to the last one, but in the interest of time, we had something we were going to do, but we won't have time to do it, so we'll call upon you now. But we're very pleased to have you here. Frank came from the great state of Oregon to be here with us. Frank?
He didn't keep me to the last because I was a dessert. Mainly, I think, because I'm the bitter medicine that everyone puts off. I am from Oregon. I'm an exile in the lower 48, and I appreciate it all the more that I was called up here to participate in this reunion and have the opportunity of seeing all my old friends and working with them. And I made a few comments on the panels, which maybe was helpful. It has been said that this Constitution is a model Constitution, that it has worked well. I agree with everything. You know, there's only one thing that I disagree with. I was very verbal in the general sessions in disagreeing with it, and that is the word borough. Now, the burrow brought to my mind a certain four-legged animal that you could hear braying across the hills, or perhaps a hole in which a rat crawled. The argument was put forth that we didn't want to use the word counties. There were so many corrupt county governments. That was a very specious argument to my mind, because there are also many counties who had good governments. There are hundreds of them in the United States. But there were boroughs in New York City and boroughs in Ireland, and I did not see any relation between New York City and Alaska. I argued against it on the floor, but there was a young, energetic fella by the name of Coghill who pushed it very hard, and he evidently had more energy than I because it prevailed. Now, when I came up here, Bill Egan shook my hand. He's a friend of mine, and I certainly am a friend of his, but when I finish my next remarks, I don't know if he'll shake it again. It'll take more than a little disagreement, though, to end my friendship for him. I gather from his remarks that he is for amending the Constitution more than once. I believe that he even mentioned it would be a good idea to call another convention to rehash the whole thing, modernize it. Is that right or not?
No.
It isn't. I take it back. One of the things that we tried to do during the convention was to design an enduring document to separate the idea of a constitution and legislation. A constitution should be an enduring document, and I think we really wrote one. It is a statement of policy for the state government. The legislature is the body that makes the laws. It is the caretaker and the management of the government. And they look to the Constitution to guide them. If it's a Constitution that has to be amended every year, it isn't much of a guide. There are states that have amended their constitution to death. This is because they have lazy legislatures. They do not want to decide. They don't want to take the responsibility. Throw out an amendment to the people. Let them decide. And that ruins it. The people who want to continually amend the Constitution with non-essential details remind me of my wife. You know, I'm retired now, and we have a smaller home. It's a nice home, and we refurnished it beautifully. Lots of Alaskan artifacts and mementos, of course, in it. It's beautiful with all new equipment in it, and I'm comfortable. My guests come in, and they remark on it. But every once in a while, my wife wants to rearrange the furniture or put up new drapes. And then I feel uncomfortable after she's done it. It was so good before. And there are certain people with a mentality which just want to change things no matter what. I'm not that type. I believe if you have something good, you should keep it. Now, who's to judge whether it's good? Certainly not the people who wrote it. In their own opinion, perhaps it's good. But we've heard newspaper editors, learned professors of civics and political science, governors, throughout the whole lower 48, they've all said it was the best constitution. So I believe in keeping it. But not, as was said, it is not a holy cow. No, times change. Therefore, it will have to change somewhat. We must be modern and progressive, and the Constitution must conform with the times, but I'm for unnecessary amendments. Now, I was a member of the Executive Committee and also the Finance and Taxation Committees. Those are two important ones, and I'm especially proud that I was a member of those two committees. Now, the question comes up of a permanent fund. I'm old-fashioned and conservative, I guess. Always was a Democrat. And I believe in saving some of this money. It isn't going to last forever. The Arabs know that. They're saving it. They're making investments which will make returns on their money or physical improvements which will last. And they put the price up on oil because they want to get all they can now and invest it in their country so they can convert it to a different economy later. This oil is not going to last. It isn't a crop like corn where you can plant it again. So you had better think of that. And I'm for a permanent fund, certainly. I'm a little uncertain about doing this with an amendment to the Constitution because, as I say, I'm against too many amendments. But if it has to be done that way, perhaps I would be for it because I want the government of Alaska to continue to be strong and viable, and I think it will. When the oil will last quite a while, and when it does, there will be other industries up here. You have some now. Tourism has been a growing industry. And a good one. It takes nothing out of Alaska, nothing at all. It brings the green in. So you want to build that up. I want to thank you again for inviting me up here. I appreciate it especially because I'm an exile in the 48, lower 48. And I really appreciate seeing all my old friends here. And I have one great ambition, and that is to be up here 20 years from now at the next reunion and to see all my old friends at that time.
Thanks, my God, I'll tell you. Thank you. It certainly is still a pleasure to shake your hand, Frank, and we're all grateful for your observations and your feelings on this document that is the Constitution of the State of Alaska. At this time, I'd like to call on Steve McCutcheon. Steve, I thought you had gone. You were out of the room or something earlier. We would have had you. Is Steve McCutcheon still there? Then would Mr. Hurley, we might ask Mr. Hurley, Delegate Hurley, in the meantime. That's what I have to do, too, at 1:40. I'm supposed to leave the airport. 1:40, yeah. Is Steve McCutcheon out there? Well, then, at this time, I'd like to call upon Bob Olson, if he would come forward. He has some... Bob has been very active with 55...
stay right here, Governor Bill.
...students, as I understand
55
it.
55 students have worked through this at Dick Fisher's. It was his idea. It has been a learning process. They also have made television documentaries, photographic documentaries of all kinds. We'll be preparing a final overall comprehensive report of all proceedings. And a little after midnight, we went to press with the first volume of Alaska Constitutional Gazette, with pictures and stories of even the banquet last night. Here it is. Thank you
very much. And we want to, in behalf of all the delegates and all participants, again, Bob Olson and your students and the others who have been involved in this project, we appreciate your efforts. And we feel very deeply that and hope that what you have learned here are in being able to attend these sessions, that you really that it really has been helpful to you, we just say the very best of everything to all of you, and thank you very much. With that, unless there's something else to come before the meeting, I think we should remind you that we're way late for the luncheon over at Dr. Hyatt's house, and I do want to say that Mrs. Egan and I have to leave immediately to catch a plane, so thank you.